مرحبا مرحبا في Music for Human. I am الدكتور جالس السكران and I declare that you are welcome. Indeed, that you are welcome is my declaration. Join us this evening as we are building a memory palace. I'm sitting here with Aurora, vocal specialist. Aurora, welcome.
Thank you for having me on the show today, Dr. Jalis.
Thank you, Aurora. For our first-time listeners, can you tell them what it means to be a vocal specialist?
Well, as you know, Dr. Jalis, I am a vocal therapist, which means that I specialize in healing wounds through the use of my own voice and through coaching and interacting with the voices of those who need help.
And you coach them by using your voice?
By using my own voice and by showing them how to access their own wonderful voices that are sometimes so repressed.
I recently had an interaction with someone using also the voice. I was riding an elevator and I greeted a man who entered the elevator after me. I said to him, "How are you?" And generally, this is a protocol that I have learned here, that when you are in the elevator, that you give more regard, that it is optional, but one may give more regard to the companions of the elevator than one would give to a person who was, for example, the person that they meet on the street, or even to the person they are waiting for the elevator with.
Now, I believe this can be explained through quantum healing, because when someone is so close to you for such a stretch of time, themselves, their soul, their spirit being overlaps with yours quantum mechanically and creates a bond, a wonderfully healing bond, and reaching out and strengthening that connection can really enhance your spirit.
It may be all about proximity. I also feel, however, that to some extent it is the possibility that one may remain within close proximity of the person for many hours, depending on fate, that one may begin to make a small, brief, pleasant conversation with them. But in any case, this rider of the elevator did not respond as most do. He responded by saying, I asked him, "How are you?" And he said, "Why do you care?" He said to me.
And if you would like to care, please call us. Our number is 617-253-8810.
And we have two lines open. We will carry the conversation forward. Marhaban, caller.
Hello?
Hello, welcome, caller.
Hello?
Yes.
Welcome, caller. You are on the air.
I hate people like...
Let's try taking another call. Caller 2, marhaban. Caller.
Hello?
Yes, caller, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm well, caller, thank you.
And caller, why do you care?
How are you? I'm sorry, what was that?
Why do you care how we are?
Because I believe in open individuality, that we're all really the same manifestation, or different manifestations of the same person, separated through space and time.
And
so you're me, and I'm very selfish.
And so it is actually that you are regarding and inquiring about the state of a person who is you, but in another time?
I don't really know how it works exactly. Maybe in the future my consciousness will go into your space or the other way around, but
it's
somehow
almost,
we are one.
It's almost like asking how your hand is doing. The special part of yourself, all of us.
Or like writing a letter to a future version of yourself.
It's kind of like bathing in the lie, and you think you're cleansed, but then you see the sheep already up on the hill, and the fleece is bright white. So you weep.
I remember that when I was younger, I used to, whenever I would move to a new place, I would prepare a note to myself that would record my attitudes and feelings upon entering and place it in some hidden place so that when I had concluded my time in that place, that I would clean and remove my belongings and find under it the note.
And what would it say?
It may say that Ya Jalis, entering this place, you are feeling a sensation of excitement and sadness. Sadness because you have left the previous place, and excitement because you are about to study transdermal mediation with a new set of teachers. Let's bring a new set of voices along on the air to join us. Caller 3, marhaban.
Hi, isn't that what happened in Alice's restaurant? Didn't they find a note at the bottom of all the trash?
I'm not sure. Alice is... Who's... Is it a film?
Alice's restaurant.
It's a song. Arlo Guthrie. Woody Guthrie.
Arlo. Woody
Arlo
was
Guthrie.
Father. And Arlo was the son who put the note at the bottom of the trash.
I believe.
What did it say?
It said, he had to go to jail because he left the note at the bottom of the trash.
Now, is Alu referencing the Indian word for potatoes?
I believe that it is a character in a serial. It is a series.
A series, I see.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. It's interesting that there is a similar ritual, however.
It's also kind of like if you ever have cereal from a third world country and you open it up, and at the bottom of the box there's like a ransom note. You know, it says, I'm going to kill this, you know. Or there's a prize, and you never know what you're going to get.
Well, it's an interesting technique to leave a ransom note at the bottom of a box of cereal, because
cereal
never,
goes quick.
You never
cereal
know.
Cereal goes quick in Libya.
I see, but I believe that some people
so much milk.
They leave boxes of cereal for years, even, and just have them as parts of their home and not necessarily as something to be consumed and completed.
Some people do they go through so much cereal that they need the jars to keep it in, those plastic containers. I don't really like either one of those people. I think cereal's got to be a thing that you go through, but you go through with abandon. You can't take your baggage with you when you eat. I actually had a question. I had a dream. I had a dream, and I'd like to recount it to you. This is a real dream that I had. I wonder if you could maybe relate or interpret it for me.
We'd be delighted to try.
Okay. I was dreaming, and, well, I'll leave out the first part, but I got to this point where I realized I had this realization in the dream. I was sort of lucid. My realization was that I was a little disappointed because my personality is such that I like to experience a little bit of everything. I like to know what everything is like.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that going through this human program, there's a basic separation where you don't get to experience everything because you end up being a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. And a man can pretty much do anything that any man can do to an extent, anything that I'd want to do. And a woman can do anything that she'd want to do. But a man can never have boobs, real boobs, at least at this point.
When?
Maybe in the future with stem cells.
So now,
well, Carla, there's always estrogen supplements, which does lead to...
Precisely.
That's gross.
And as a transdermal mediator, actually, I found that the patients of mine that have taken hormone therapies also have excellent skin. So if in fact you also have skin blemishes, it is possible.
I do have a lot of moles. But how do you know what's, you know, first of all, you don't know exactly what you're going to end up looking like as a woman. Second of all, you're this weird man-woman combination, which is not really the same thing as a woman. You kind of traverse the... I don't know, I think my chin is too thick to be a real woman.
Yeah,
and then if you want to go back, it's a whole thing, and it's very expensive. It takes a lot of time out of the whole experiencing the rest of the world thing.
Now, I think that there are a few ways to look at this. First, one may consider the idea of simply meditating and then entering a state where you can fully experience another person's window. But another is to ask why it is in particular that you mentioned earlier that you believe that you will that we are all the same person separated by space and time. Why is it that you... You know, there are particular experiences that only you will ever have the opportunity to experience, and spending time imagining how those experiences would be taken in by another person, I think is removing the fact that only you are experiencing them and preventing you from fully experiencing them.
Well, it's like we all have the same consciousness, but it's chopped up by this guillotine between people, such that we don't carry our memories, and we don't have a, you know, our identities may be the same, but they're not, they don't carry on from one person to the other.
Well, color,
so that makes a big difference. I can't relate being a woman to being a man, even though I might be a woman in some other realm.
So why do you think
same thing with chickens.
That you have this extreme desire to experience every sensation?
I think it's part of my temperament. I never want to miss out on something.
But as I pointed out, caller, by being a different person than you are, you would be missing out on the experience of being you.
Yes.
So there is no victory in this line of thinking.
Well, I wouldn't really want to be anyone. I want to be myself, experiencing all these different things.
There is a part of the brain, caller, which experiences life with the sensation of unity. And I think that it may be worthwhile in your case to seek to develop that. So to really meditate upon being part of a unified being, which already also fits well within your beliefs.
You need to melt away the ego.
But I do, but I want to love every way that I go. I want to go in every crevice.
Well,
literally and figuratively.
I think you should. You should just go out there and go into every crevice.
Thanks.
Well,
I'm trying.
Well,
one weekend at a time.
I hope you have fun.
I do. Do Do you want to do it with me?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Do you know where Cafe, or no, Espresso Royale is?
Well, so I believe that,
It's near BU.
It can
I'll be there in an hour and a half.
Actually, I have a thing for the doctor.
Please call. Oh. Please.
I do.
I wasn't propositioning you. That's really awkward.
I believe
I thought we might go spelunking together.
Well, I don't know. I do like the doctor very much.
Thank you, caller.
Okay,
I do. I like your voice, and I like your comments.
I like your voice
and
your comments.
Had something going for a lot longer than you. So.
Also, I think that there is the possibility here for a spiritual exploration that can be done meditatively and simply by taking a moment to appreciate the fact that we are here unified together in this moment.
I've been calling in for more than 6 months. What about you? You don't know the doctor like I do.
I've been calling in for several months. I don't know how many.
Several. Several is four. Did you know that?
Well,
I didn't
that
know that. Is that right?
That several a competition
is
in this sense.
Yeah,
exactly four. It isn't exactly four, not 4.5. Or
that doesn't make any sense. How do you split a month in half?
I don't know. But I have been listening for a long time. And I find it very interesting.
No, callers, I think it's fruitless to have ambition in being more or less connected with anyone other than oneself.
What about the Mario Puzo quote, life's fruit is ambition?
It may be possible to be ambitious, but this sort of fruit is fruitless because it is more useful. I remember meeting a pair of priests in my journey who were competing with one another in piety, which seemed, I mean, does not that seem ironic? Because at some point there is a need for humility. So they were actually...
Well, I think they've got to do something to distract themselves from the boys. I think that's positive.
Caller, let's refrain from any offensive comments. We wish this to be an open, happy place for people to enjoy and share in one another. But I would like to point out that ambition may be the fruit of life, but that fruits can indeed be poisonous.
What sort of, like a nightshade? Deadly nightshade?
Yes, exactly. And so one must choose one's ambitions so carefully.
That's not a fruit, though, because that's a tomato.
Tomatoes can also be fruit, caller.
When?
When they feel like it. All of us can carry our seeds within us.
Maybe that's what my dream was about. Okay.
I believe, caller, that your dream was pointing out to you a part of your life with which you are very dissatisfied, and you must overcome that dissatisfaction and throw yourself into other endeavors and allow yourself to be immersed in other people through your spirit and through your meditation and through your mental explorations of the universe.
Maybe some anal spelunking. Well, there was another part, actually, that I'd like to discuss to you. I wonder if you relate to it. I'll try to be really quick.
And let's try to keep this clean, caller.
I absolutely will. After this realization that I had, I realized that when I go into dream states, this is a realization that I had within the dream, that I had access to like almost infinite knowledge, and I could feel my brain start to unwrap and to show me all these different things that I had never known. Mm-hmm. And then I remembered having seen all this stuff before and then shutting it back up, and I started entering this realm where I saw myself as this trans-dimensional creature who is just sticking one tentacle into the human life just for a minute, just like a foot into a wade pool, and then was going to pull it out after it was over, but it had tons of tentacles everywhere and had a whole other body outside of myself. And I started talking directly to this creature, and I realized that every time I had gotten to this place, that has happened several times before already, I realized that I went into this body for a reason, to be here, and I don't want to access that knowledge. I just want to be a human. So
that
I kind
of... That would make a great movie.
Stood back and went back in. Mm-hmm. I know.
Who would you get to play the part of you?
I think probably George Clooney.
George Clooney, good choice, yeah.
I know. I look like that a lot.
Do you look like George Clooney?
I have a really rugged face.
Well, caller, it's so beautiful that you've managed to reach this place, especially with your earlier, you know, problems. But you must, and it's beautiful, this analogy you made, because I feel as if life is simply dipping your finger into the cup of the universe. And the experiences that you gain from the cup are such a small amount of what the cup actually can contain.
Mm-hmm. And I think we might actually be building more than just this human stuff on Earth. I think we might be the start of this whole thing in some weird way. You know what I mean?
Perhaps we are merely fingers or tentacles of some greater being.
But this earlier issue, it reminds me of... it seems every time that I'm in a park or in a public place that I'm seeing several people with recording devices, video cameras, and recording everything, which always struck me as a desperate attempt to grasp, to hold tight to something which is slipping away, and to be able to experience it later. And I'm always astonished because they are there.
Well, you can take a picture of yourself at a party, and then you can look at it to see if you're having a good time.
But at the same time, when you are standing there merely taking pictures of the party...
You don't have to wait anymore to know if you had a good time.
In the end...
you can see the picture of yourself having a good time.
Immediately.
Yeah, there's an LED display.
But no waiting.
The problem with this is that when you spend your entire time merely taking pictures and recording, you end up not actually being a part of the party in the first place and not taking in those experiences.
That's why you need my product. I have a necklace camera that just takes pictures every 5 seconds. Two or three pictures every 1 second.
That might be good for these people, because I really feel... I had a conversation. I asked one. I said, "Excuse me, sir, why? Like, why are you filming everything?" He said,
"He was sassy.
I want to experience this again." I said, you are not experiencing it now.
And I believe that our minds are such a wonderful filter. We remember those things which are the most important and wonderful to ourselves. And we throw the rest of those experiences away, but perhaps those are things we would not sit through and watch anyway.
Well, it's like Baba Ram Dass said, be here now or get here later.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is when you're out in the park and there are all these birds around and all they're doing is pooping everywhere, sometimes it can look a lot better through a camera lens. And that's the other thing, is if you're not completely there, then nostalgia makes everything worthwhile.
I think
the first time around isn't that great.
I think it's because, caller, it makes the experience more real. You know, all these plastic distilled experiences can become synthetic. And so being able to see a bird, in your example, simply living its life, can make the recording or the experience of re-experiencing more real. But these, the people that I've met that have done this, it's the similar attitude to the one that you have. It's a desire to fully experience, preventing one from fully experiencing.
So they revel in actively getting in their own way. But what about, I mean, isn't there that phrase of picture is worth a thousand birds? What do you think about that?
A thousand birds?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
Well, I think it's, you know, there are all these birds around and they poop everywhere, but...
It depends on what kind of a bird it is.
You don't smell the poop.
No, the saying that I know for birds is a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
In your bush?
In any bush. The purpose meaning that, you know, having an actual thing, it's better than hope. It is better than a possibility.
Yeah, but with a photograph, you have more than the possibility.
Well, Connor, this is... As a vocal therapist, I have tried recording some of the wonderful sounds that I've heard around the world. But when I go back and listen, it is merely a tinny echo of the memory that I have.
Well, I need a better DRV.
Well, I've...
What is it called? Digital recording device, DRD.
I have tried within my limits, but your memory can be ruined. It can be overcome by the fake zeros and ones that are emitted by that recording.
Well, what do you think about getting to a point where we can record and play back with fidelity equal to the actual experience? Obviously we don't have that technology now, but in the next 50 years, I think we'll have something close to that.
I think we should cross that bridge when we arrive.
Which is tomorrow.
Yeah, it could be.
Tomorrow.
Skynet's waking up.
Let's bring another voice in to join us. And if at any point you would like to join us, please call 617-253-8810. Caller, marhaban.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
Do you guys know anywhere to buy a gun?
I'm not sure, and I'm not sure why I would want to buy.
To kill all the blackbirds.
Well, I believe blackbirds have their purpose on the world.
I'm not sure that...
You're a whore. Fuck you.
Well, in any case, I think that every species has a purpose.
Well, I'm shocked.
I also
believe all of us are, yes. That certainly shattered the warm atmosphere that...
Shame on him.
Indeed.
And to all those who call in, please try to remain friendly and open.
Yeah, we would... We really don't have room for people that don't have room for others. And it's the only thing we don't have room for. So,
that's true.
But if you would like to join us in harmony and peace, call 617-253-8810.
I was recently attempting to locate my spirit home. And I was wondering, Dr. Dallas, if you've ever done this, if you've ever developed any techniques for finding a celestial or a physical spot.
I mean, in my experience, it's more about building than about finding, that we are all unique and one has to grow organically in oneself a place. Spirit home is really about being comfortable in one's place, and it's a valuable thing because it can help root you and to help you deal with the challenging experiences. I remember in particular a moment when in my youth I was lost in the desert, and those long warm days, I would, you know, I knew intuitively that I would survive. I knew that I was not in danger of perishing, but my body would not stop complaining. And so I put myself in the spirit home and rested my face on a cool statue there. And it was not real, but my body eventually submitted to the sensation.
I wonder where the shoe guy is tonight. Remember he was on last week? I like a guy that's passionate about footwear.
About footwear in particular?
Footwear. And he, do you remember the shoe guy?
Yes, the Irish man who had cheap shoes and was very physically attached to them.
To the sacrifice of the lamb that was sacrificed?
Yes.
In the memory of his homeland.
Well, where's the professor?
Yeah, Professor Levine, unfortunately, is journeying. And he is... it may be that we find that he will leave us soon, and we're obviously a little concerned, but it is part of life that one becomes friends and then people must move.
It's the ebb and flow as we come in contact. Well, caller, what do you feel about your spirit home?
I'm quite comfy in it. It's a comfy spirit home.
Can you
just describe the way I like it?
Describe it to us.
Well, it's snuggly and warm and peaceful and colorful. And I think it has everything it needs. And it's happy.
Oh, that's wonderful, caller.
Oh.
Whenever I hear your voice on the air, I'm always pleased by how calm and relaxed and centered you seem to be.
Well, that's quite a bit coming from you. You have a lovely, lovely voice.
Well, thank you, caller.
I'm going to go now. Very nice talking to you again.
Thank you again for joining us, caller.
Namaste.
Good night.
Masalama. Again, if anyone else would like to join, the show is not really about us enjoying each other's company, but also about interacting and helping and just being with you. So if you'd like to be with us, the number is 617-253-8810. To go back to the elevator journey that I mentioned earlier before the callers joined us, I was struck that the man would even ask me that he would even wonder that it would find that he would find it surprising that I would inquire after him. And I said that he was my elevator mate. That he was there joined with me in that period of time, and we are all a human collective. Marhaban, caller.
Hello?
Yes, welcome, caller.
Hi. I guess what I wanted to ask was, do you think everybody can tap into this now, like any second?
Well, caller, can you please step away from your radio?
Caller?
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, thank you, caller.
So, like I said, this now, this oneness of the experience, can anybody just tap into it at any time?
I think it's unlikely, caller, that you would fall into the experience.
But not through, like, a trance or anything?
Not a trance, necessarily, but it's a matter of openness, of being prepared to
But if you think of Zen Buddhism and meditating and being constantly caught in those kind of seconds where you realize that it's all just going in that moment, that just the isness, and it's lost like a trance.
I accept that it may be similar to a trance. I think when we use the word trance, it's it often in.
So you see the illusion that everything is. You know what I'm saying?
Well, caller, it's more of a realization of a feeling that you can pull yourself out of at will.
Pull yourself out of.
And
yeah,
caller,
that makes sense.
Can you please turn down or step away from your radio?
Did this sound better?
Yeah, it's much better. Thank you, caller.
altered to a different frequency now. Anyway, so where are you guys in your spiritual quest?
Well, I in particular, now today we're talking a little about this idea of a spirit home. I've been developing this, which I've also called a memory palace, for decades. And
that's a wonderful idea. So you just basically can reside in there if you want.
That at every part of my experience, my life has manifested itself in large or in small details in that spirit home.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's a pretty good way of looking at things. I think that for most people, maybe an easier way is just opening up their eyes instead of closing their eyes, because when your eyes are open, you can see nature and just what's unfolding around you with a constant change and a permanence in the beauty and the ephemerality of that.
It can also become overwhelming if you're not careful. The idea that every moment is not in reality directly connected to the previous moment, and that you can expand or contract this timeline that you've constructed for yourself at will, and shuffle the frames that constitute your experiences.
I agree. I mean, there's definite dangers, I guess, or things that could go wrong, but I figure, why not?
No, it's definitely such a wonderful experience to have.
Yeah. I appreciate the willingness to so fully experience the life that you have been given. And caller, is there do you also share this concept of a spirit home?
Yeah, I think you could buy into that if you wanted to, because it definitely having like visualizations, especially like Tibetan Buddhism, that really is helpful. So, right on.
And what sort of visualizations in particular have you had?
I've listened to like a Brian Weiss visualization to try to conjure specific things for a while. So it's like listening to that every night. It kind of was an established place to go to, with a brook, a grove of trees, you know, the specific staircase you go down. So once it's like nailing down those details, then you can totally really get into that.
I'm so pleased to hear that you're using your sense of hearing in order to immerse yourself into these experiences. It's one of the most evocative forms of memory recollection.
And also really completes the experience, because when I am in a place which has a lot of noise and I go to a location in my spirit home, the listening room, then I can experience silence there. Or experience.
So why don't you think that people like mainstream really accept metaphysics as viable at all?
I think it is just a gradual thing, that it's an attitude that grows and wanes, and any aspect of science also has experienced a waxing and waning.
Well, I'd like to add on to that as well. The way that we've built up our scientific theories in the past, we've made it incredibly difficult to overhaul the major assumptions. For example, in the early 1900s, when several physicists decided that energy must be discrete, it was incredibly difficult for them to throw away the classical ideas from before. And this has been repeated in so many other fields of science, that we build up a pyramid and make the beginning assumptions so important, the structures, that if you were to replace them, the entire building would come tumbling down.
When we begin challenging those views.
Exactly, and that makes new views so difficult to include into our current.
Yeah, that works for me. It seems like a little bit surreal to describe, so I could see where even saying such base terms and words that everyone can relate to, that it gets them to very much of a point to just take their own reality to that situation.
Mm. Let's bring in a second voice caller. Caller 7, marhaban. Caller 7?
This is my friend Grant. He has a spiritual question to ask you.
Please. Caller?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for picking up.
Yes, thank you for calling, caller.
It is my great pleasure. to use the telephone to contact people such as you.
Excellent, caller. And can you tell us about your spiritual home?
Yeah. My spiritual home is a place filled with discounts and savings.
So it is about economics in your spirit.
And bargains, markdowns, and slash prices.
And I think this is a fragile view because that depends so much on exterior things.
Yeah.
But a spirit home can really be about depending on one's makeup, integrity, and spiritual interior.
In my spirit home, there are many things for the exterior and interior of your spirit home.
Well, caller, it is not easy to transfer a physicality in your spirit home to someone else's. Everyone's experiences are so different.
Yeah. To transfer them is not difficult when you come to my spirit home.
I think maybe the caller is confused about this point about the spirit home. It is an abstraction, caller, not a warehouse.
But it is a warehouse accessible only through the staring at the sun. And once it focuses, you can shoot a laser beam from the top of your head, uniting you with the entire universe.
Now, I certainly do not advocate anyone staring directly into the sun without some sort of protection. There is easy.
But, Mama, that's where the fun is.
Well, and I'd also like to add to that staring at a reflection of the sun can also be harmful.
Precisely. Really, you need protection. The rays can harm your optical apparatus. And it is a thing that, so far, medical science cannot reverse. And as far as I know, it also cannot be fixed by...
alternative medicines.
Precisely.
It is true. The cornea and the retina are the only two clear organs in the body.
Mm. And Aurora, I would like to solicit your opinion on the caller's voice, which seems to have I'm not trained, but an unusual cadence to it.
Mm. This is true.
It is the voice of one who is attempting to gain confidence.
Mm-hmm.
When really, I am empty inside.
Well, no, caller. You are merely projecting a surface image of yourself at the moment, and at little glimpses of time, we feel you, yourself, when you are not projecting this image that you wish to be projected.
Yes. It is because I have recently consumed some red slider.
A red slider.
It was cooked in the traditional Haitian way.
Can you tell us about this food that you consumed, caller?
It has blessed me with a deep desire to find a restroom.
I believe that there are many foods that do that. They do not drive with your resonances.
It is a common effect with foods that are difficult to digest, caller.
And especially if you do not meditate with an animal, for example, before it is slaughtered and sacrificed for your nourishment.
Yeah, there are many, many medicines, though, to help. So we wish you the best success with that, caller.
Now, caller, I wish to assist you in finding your legato, if possible. Would you be interested in that?
What was that?
Well, your voice is very staccato. It is somewhat tense in that sense, and smoothing it out, I believe, would allow you to relax.
Relaxation? Why? I am perfectly relaxed at this time.
Well, caller, I think there is... I think also there is a matter of rubato, Aurora, if that makes any sense there. There are irregular pauses in the caller's speech and a monotone nature. There is a pitch issue.
And this always comes out when someone is attempting to project an image of themselves rather than just allowing themselves to speak.
Ah, yes. I have been programmed to speak eloquently and with great confidence.
The caller, may I ask for your name, please?
My name is G41 Human.
May I call you G?
That is wonderful.
And how long have you been in this physical body of yourself?
Oh, 4 years now. It was not my choice, but I have come to enjoy it.
Can you hum with me, caller?
Can I what?
I'd like to hum a note.
Which note would you like?
Well, can you hum an A?
Please, be patient.
440 hertz, if that helps. Caller, you must reach in yourself and find your true voice and allow it to be expressed. These filters, these covers, they're only repressing your soul. And that can only lead to explosions.
Explosion.
Celestial, spiritual explosions within yourself. Explosions of anger, of discontent.
Anger and content.
And to me it's somewhat alarming. I could not believe the rider either with me in the elevator who asked me, said, "Why do you care?" I said that you are my companion in the elevator, and we are, I think the earlier caller mentioned it, that there is a possibility that we are all the same person.
That we are all elevators?
Not elevators, but if anyone is riding an elevator, we are all riding it. If anyone is trapped there, we are all trapped.
Well, it's interesting that someone would feel the need to question one human's concern for another. It really speaks to the place that we're living at the moment, to our physical location on Earth.
To the culture?
To the culture that so many people wish to express that they do not care at all. That we are continuously surprised when someone does something friendly, such as smiles at us in the street or rushes to replace an item that we've forgotten or left behind.
The cynicism, it's very, it's poisonous.
And hopefully, when we improve our wisdom, when we pass through to the age of Aquarius, perhaps we are developing towards a more wonderful understanding of one another. And that we can feel ourselves in one another as counterpoints and as ourselves. We are all just... Even the scientists believe this, that we are all just genetic combinations of one another.
I'm a scientist, and I don't believe anything.
Do you believe that you are alive?
Well, I must assume this, but through the theory of falsifiability, it seems to be true. Whether or not I believe in it is besides the point.
Also, as a scientist caller, I question this idea that a scientist would operate without beliefs. It is one thing to be objective, but another to, and you know, let's be honest, a scientist spends much of their time sincerely believing the theory that they are trying to generate evidence for. And I think that the brain is not really well equipped for dealing with an abstract existence devoid of any beliefs about the world in which it exists. So I really question the truth of what you've said.
There is a swamp from which my people have come. And the swamp, though it's topped with tufted islands bearing fruited trees, the water surrounding them goes deep, deeper than can be reached. But the water will evaporate.
And what does this evaporation mean to you?
Then we will be free. And ready to save.
I became a little desperate when I heard the companion of the elevator, because I realized that for him to ask me whether or not I really cared meant that he really did not care.
That does not necessarily follow.
Hmm.
Perhaps it is a question that he has felt in his mind. Perhaps he has felt that others around him are uncaring. And he is beginning to wonder if anyone out there truly means it when they ask how you are. These days, people will just answer with a, "Fine, how are you?" when inside they are crumbling. So perhaps it is a good exercise for all of us this week to, when asked how we are, to really say, to reach deep into yourself and tell those who ask really how you are doing. Maybe that will help you learn how you truly are.
The effort of expounding, of summarizing, help one focus on the right things.
And how are you, Dr. Jalas?
I'm fine, Aurora. I am reclining comfortably in my spirit home.
I sense a certain solemn sensation.
It's a profound thing to have built, Aurora. Well, thank you for being with us for yet another hour of Music for Humans. Thanks to our many callers, also to the ones that we were able to speak to and the ones that we could not. Thanks, Aurora, also for being with me once again.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
I am Dr. Jalas Sakran here with Music for Human, New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you, on every Friday at 7 p.m. here on WMBR Cambridge 88.1 FM. Stay with us.
Safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Again to Hipster Happy Hour, bringing you the best in bands you've never heard of. I'm going to shift the palette of our music a little bit today. Going to go for indie electronica, as opposed to the usual indie rock. Got some stuff I'm really excited about tonight. We've got The Books coming out, Amon Tobin, Caribou track off his new album that came out recently, the past couple of months. So yeah, listen to this.